From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State via our affiliates on the Michigan Talk Network and all over the world via the podcast at wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick it up for absolute free. And we're going to be, we're happy to announce I'm going to be broadcasting live with the Glancing Classic Rock Station, 949 WMMQ, on November 3rd at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Longtime supporters of Wild Michigan. And a great bunch of guys, Mike Green and everybody over there, and Not Just Guns, happy to be doing a live remote there. And, you know, I mean, look, man, you guys can come out and support Not Just Guns and say hi, and we'll have some free stuff to give away and some great deals on firearms and accessories as well. Also want to thank our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan and, of course, Conquest Sense, makers of Evercalm VS1. And in many forms, in liquid form, in the scent sticks, in the bomb, which we will be talking about in a little while. Also, Scentfire, the cool remote control vaporizer. All this great stuff available on their website, conquestscents.com. A great company here in Davison, Michigan. And, oddly enough, Doug Roberts, the deer professor of Conquest Scents, joining me right now. Doug, how are you, sir?
I am good, Duran. Doing great. The weather's changing, so we're busy right now.
You know, it's that time of year when that first cold snap hits, my just everything about me changes. Everything.
Well, you know, look at it, the timing of this was the Labor Day weekend, the kids finally going back to school, the weather changed. Everybody's brain kicked into deer hunting, you know, getting ready. And honestly, people were doing it way before this because they've got so much time on their hands. You know, so many people are still working from home or not working. And it's been a crazy year, but we are just overly whelmed with business and orders. So we're very blessed.
Well, and that's great to hear. You know, we talked to Dave Wheeler over at Lucky Buck earlier this year. I mean, not even three quarters of the way into the year, he's on his way to having the best year ever in his business. And I'm hearing that from so many people, which just blows my mind. But you know what? People have time to research things like, you know, Evercalm and VS1, and they're having time to look at them. And I'm going to say this out loud as I say it each and every day. There's like almost no excuse for those ranges and the woods to be filled November 14th with people sighting in.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, get it done ahead of time.
It's going to happen. I know it. I mean, look, come on. We're guys and gals. We procrastinate and we have other things to do. But, you know, take a couple hours, sight it in, put it in the corner, leave it alone. But that's just me, man. I complain about that every year and never does any good. So I just wonder who's listening. But I want to touch base with you because we're coming into the Freedom Hunt, the Youth Hunt, the so many different things coming up before even bow season starts. And as I was telling Tom Nelson, my wife and I had a really cool 20 yards, less than 20 yards experience with a couple of 8 points in our backyard the other day. It looks like the velvet had started to dry up. They were getting a little edgy with each other, kind of poking each other a little bit. And it was really exciting to see them because I think it's the same pair. I could be wrong, but their rack's almost identical, out past their ears, but not real tall. So they look to be about 2.5. But I mean, they're getting kind of towards that spot where they're going to start, you know, marking their territories, getting that velvet off their antlers and getting the air quotes term hard-horned, and don't get down on me for saying horned because it's just a term, a description.
Hard-antlered.
The PC
but,
term.
You know, but, Duran, you're right. It's happening quick. I mean, the shedding, the velvet of the shedding, we started bucks actually about a week and a half ago, and now it's just every day we're having more and more that are shedding out here. on the farm. And this cool snap, what it's done, it's just like all of us. I mean, it gets them frisky, and so they want to start play fighting. So we're trying to get the antlers off. You know, it's just everything's all hit at one time. We're trying to get, you know, the fawn sorted off and get the breed pens going, but we got to get the bucks de-antlered, you know, so they don't accidentally injure each other. But all of this is happening in the wild, and it is. They're getting testy real quick. Now, does it mean anything? I actually saw two scrapes the other day. It doesn't mean anything other than it just tells me there's a buck of some size in that area. But literally, they're just – they need something to do. And so once they shed out or they're shedding, they want to play fight. They want to start making these scrapes. They're getting practice for what's coming up here in a month. And it's going to be wide open in a month.
It's going to be chaotic for them. I mean, look, we have a couple of early hunts, which is really going to change their patterns ahead of the bow season, which, you know, some people disagree with. And I'm going to say right now that it will, because you're going to have a lot of movement, a lot of scent in the woods. But they're still going to go about their business at hand.
I think, you know, the youth season coming up here this weekend, I think it's a great time to get the youth involved or get them started out there. It gives them a little head start, and I support that. But you're right. It is absolutely going to train the experienced bucks. The older bucks are going to go, that time of year again. Time to start shut down, not, you know, do as much movement. Maybe we're going to move a little bit later, get into the woods earlier in the morning. So it's definitely that people movement in the woods, and we're going to have more people in the woods than we probably have had in many, many years. They're setting record sales on licenses being sold. So it's great for the hunting industry. This is what we've been hoping for, to get more people involved in the outdoors. But with that comes more movement, which is going to change the deer pattern much quicker. So you're absolutely right.
Now, speaking with Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense here on Wild Michigan, Doug, you know, you talked about the play fighting and the positioning. That's only going to get a little bit more intense as we go into November.
Oh, it will. I mean, they're right now they're play fighting, and it's kind of fun to see, you know, ours. They're frisky. Like this morning, there was three or four of them out there just really going at it. And you could tell they were doing fun things because it's cool. And we kind of got a mist coming down. So to them, it's very refreshing, energizing. You give them another 3-4 weeks, and they're not going to like each other. And when they hit, it's going to be dead serious. And that third one is going to try to hurt somebody. So, again, we have the advantage. We can actually get the antlers cut off, and the chances are less. But in the wild, it doesn't happen that way. So that's why and when you see all of these bucks split up, because of that problem. They realize we can't be together. We don't want to be together. Now, with that, it's interesting. An older buck, a bigger buck, will always have a subordinate buck with him. That's his extra eyes and ears. That's the guy that goes out before him. And normally get shot, and the big buck that's standing back there watching goes, oh, yep. But, and then he goes finds another one. So hunters have to understand that the older bucks, 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, always have a 1 or a 2-year-old with them, and that is because they send them out into the field first, or they go out. It's the test. If you can withstand not shooting that deer, that big buck normally will step out. Just before dark, or just, you know, right after daylight in the morning, knowing he now feels safe because that other one hasn't sensed anything. So it's kind of funny how they do that, but it does it here on the farm, it does it in the wild, does it on the ranches. That's just part of their nature.
That's funny that they've got a decoy.
All they do, they all have a decoy, and that's their buddy, and it's always subordinate to that dominant buck, and that dominant buck uses it for that reason.
All right, Doug Roberts joining us here, Conquest Sense. We're going to talk more with him here, find out what's going on for the early part of the youth season and the freedom hunt here on Wild Michigan.
Hey, this is Nick. 6 months of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no land for sale.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by United Deer Farmers of Michigan. The truth about CWD.com is where you need to be. Find out what's going on with CWD, what the research and the money being put into it by independent deer farmers here in Michigan. We want the best for the herd, not just the ones behind the fence, but those outside, because the research benefits everyone. And that's something that's very important to all of us. And somebody that that lives with the deer, the deer whisperer, if you will, Doug Roberts, the deer professor, joining us. And Doug, it's this this year, man, we started out wet. We got super hot fast. We've talked, I mean, pretty much ad nauseum about antler growth. But from what I've seen physically, it still all looks good. And those kids that are going to go out this year are going to have a blast, the very first hunt.
Oh, my goodness, Duran. It started out a little slow, like you said, wet and damp. But, man, the summer turned out to be a perfect antler-growing year. And I think everyone really had great nutrition for most parts across the state. And, therefore, I think they're going to max out the genetic potential, as we say, in the antler growth. Even around the farm here, we're seeing the wild deer, and the bucks are doing very, very well. I mean, you can definitely see what's a yearling, a two-year-old, the three-year-olds, and there's distinct jumps in each age group, which tells me everyone has done well. So hunters, get excited about the season, because it's going to be a fun one as long as the farmers can get the crops off the fields.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
if they can't get that corn down, boy, there's going to be a lot of bucks going to live through another year because they'll learn how to hide in it. So.
You know, and that's the thing, too. We were worried about the crops in the very beginning. It was such a late start. Then they got in, and then all of a sudden, boom. I mean, just everything blew up. Now, what the yield is going to be for that stuff, I'm not sure. I'm not a farmer. I can't tell you. But appearance to me, by what's out there for the crops, the density and everything else, looks to be pretty fair.
Oh, it does. It does. I mean, I'm looking at just the farmer behind me, and his corn looks amazing. The beans look outstanding. They're waist high. So all of that stuff is great. Now that we can't, bait and feed, I know a lot of the hunters have put in their food plots. We've got farmers that I know are leaving standing corn and beans for the deer for later in the season. So there's a lot of good things happening. Hunters are adapting and changing to what the regulations are. And honestly, the number of deer you can shoot in Michigan per hunter and the firearms and how you can hunt all season long is just is crazy. They've opened everything wide open. So no excuse not to be successful this year in Michigan.
Well, and that's just it. And, there are times that we need advantages on our side, and you guys at Conquest Sense have been doing that for us for quite some time. I mean, we've been with you. This is our 14th birthday is coming up September 30th, and honestly, I can't believe it's been that long. We've worked with you before that when Steve Gruber had the wildlife on WJR. I was very fortunate to work on that show for a while.
Yep.
But, I mean, we've watched such a transformation from the scent sticks to, I mean, the scent fire, and now you have the Evercalm bomb. I mean, look, we're never going to fear fool deer all of the time, but you've come up with damn good ways to do it.
Well, Duran, it's everyone always asks me, when you're going to come out with a new scent, when you're going to come out with a new scent. My answer is very simple. When the deer create a new scent that they're attracted to, we'll figure out how to collect it. I think we're collecting everything we possibly can from the deer that they create, but hunters have... And very smartly, they've asked us, how can we put that smell in different dispersal systems? And so, the last two, the scent fire unit, I just flat out love that. I've always tried to figure out, how can you take liquid scent, heat it, and vaporize it into the air? Because it gets much stronger, and it carries further. And the scent fire unit does that. And then you add the remote to it, where you can control it from up to 40 yards away out of your tree stand. That's the perfect scenario. But aerosols, I was never big on them, but so many hunters love aerosols where they can use it in bursts or the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But the way we put it in that container and the way it actually comes out of the container, it actually becomes sticky. So you can leave a scent trail not just on the ground, but you can leave it on the branches and the bushes and the trees as you go in, at a deer's nose height. So it's kind of fun, the different ways of dispersal, that you can literally set these deer up to really calm them down and make them feel safe in your hunting area.
Doug Roberts, our guest, Conquest Sense in Davison, Michigan, conquestsense.com. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Doug, is this, the same concept as what the buck bomb was?
It is. It's actually the exact same concept. It's easy to use. It's easy to put in your pockets. Now, we have two different sizes. What's new this year, we actually came out with a 3.5-ounce Evercalm and Rutting Bomb, and then a 4-ounce certified estrus, which is comparable to our VS1. The only difference is we weren't able to put the vaginal secretions in there because it plugs up the container. so we couldn't call it VS1, so it's called in-heat, certified estrus in-heat. But we're excited about those because what's nice is that little canister you just put in a pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You can put a couple in a pocket, pull it out, do your little thing, put it back in a pocket. It doesn't take up room. And the price point's much better, So it's it seems to be selling well. Our biggest problem is trying to keep up with the orders right now. That's the honest truth. We can't get them, filled fast enough to fill the orders, which is a good problem for us to have.
I was going to say, not a bad problem to have. No,
we're extremely happy about it, but we never want to not be able to fill an order for somebody. And right now, these are all store orders that I'm talking about, individual mm-hmm. orders. All of those are getting filled on time and to their fullest. But
good.
Yeah. One problem.
Now, I remember way back when a Buck Mister came out for the Buck Bomb, it was a timing device, and it was pretty cool. I mean, I think I still have a couple of them laying around, but you had to be so careful with that timer because I remember setting it once. All of a sudden, I heard a click, 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 and I got a face full.
Yep.
So not a good smell on a human.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Make sure you know where this sucker is pointed, and don't point it upwind because it's going to come back at you in a hurry.
Right.
But, it's just I'm so excited for this fall. And honestly, Duran, this is the first year I do not have a single hunt book for myself. I'm not planning on going anywhere. I'm actually just going to hunt out behind the farm here and enjoy Michigan. I haven't done that in years, and it's going to be fun just to see what I can do out here and stay home. And I'm staying home because we are that busy. I just don't have the time to get away.
That's awesome. And, we're so glad to hear it, too. I mean, you guys have been such a great success story with this. You've rolled with the changes and kept up with everything. I mean, look, this state of Michigan with CWD and everything else has thrown everything at you, and you guys have come out on top because of the diligence you have in taking care of your deer herd behind the fence.
It is. The scent standards that we have put on ourselves, the closed herd status and how we're collecting this, there's no threat of spreading CWD with these products, and even the DNR agency, that's why they said anybody in the APA Deer Protection Program is qualified to sell product because they even feel it's safe. So, a lot more work on our behalf, but if it gives the hunters the confidence, level of confidence they need to harvest those animals and eat those animals, happy to do it.
Right. Conquest Sense, ATA approved here on Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world, via the website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcasts there absolutely free. And courtesy of our friends at Not Just Guns, also the United Deer Farmers of Michigan and Conquest Sense. Not Just Guns, I'll be broadcasting live there on November 3rd. Believe it or not, I'll be subcontracting for the Classic Rock Station here in Lansing. So I'll be doing a live remote out there with Mike Green and everybody. Looking forward to that. It'll be a good morning show and a good time And we hope that the folks at Wild Michigan will join us for that as well, because I'll bring some swag out there. But right now, we're going to talk to my good friend David A. Rose up in the Traverse City area of Michigan, the golden point of Michigan, if you will. And, David, welcome back, brother. How you been?
I've been good. Haven't been exercising enough and going to the gym because of all the hoopla poopla, but that's about it. So, yeah, other than that.
Well, good, man. And, you know, we've been watching your progress, and congratulations, too, man. You've made a complete life change and have wasted away in a good way, and not exactly in Margaritaville.
Yeah. It's good to be skinnier.
I remember those days.
Yeah, we'll get you there again.
We'll get there again, absolutely. Yeah. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about what you did. You were working yesterday in the Traverse City area putting in a salmon weir.
Yeah. I have been working downtown Traverse City. Since the late 80s, it's a salmon weir. And what a weir is, if people don't know, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's a device used to stop the migration of fish. So we have this big building down there that the city of Traverse City actually owns, and then Traverse City Light and Power runs the electricity and all that stuff. The DNR is there running the show. We have a biologist on staff all the time. Sometimes the feds come in and do all that kind of stuff and do testing. And then the company I work for is called American Canadian Fisheries. And they are the ones that take the fish and process the fish. This is not an egg-taking facility. It's meaning taking eggs for reproduction. The state gets all the coho they need from the Platte River hatchery, and then on the Little Manistee is where all the Chinook eggs come from. And there's a facility by the Swan River on the east side. So what happens to the fish? Well, I'll just tell you, we put this weir in, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm pretty sore because nothing at the weir is light in weight. Nothing. Because we got to take out part of the walls, and these things are made by just, I don't know, an elephant would even struggle with them. These big grates, there's like 12 of them. They're separate, and we slide those down. We have to hire a crane to come in, lift them. But we have to carry them, you know, to the place where the crane can get to them. Putting on reels electric lines for the crowders and all that stuff. And I mean, even the shovels are heavy. So
by today, they are for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then I came home and did some landscaping. And said ow when I went to bed.
Well, you know, it's a labor of love first and foremost that we do this, and we don't do this for ourselves. I mean, we are not the only people that benefit. We, as in you. Are not the only people that benefit from these things. I mean, and it's not anglers, just anglers either. There's a species involved. There's an ecosystem involved. And, I mean, so much more than just that.
Oh, yeah. One thing that American Canadian Fisheries do from Traverse City, the fish go on ice. They truck them down to a facility at Bear Lake on the west side. That's where they process them, and they bring them back to Traverse City, and there's a cold storage building here. The meat is, a lot of it's sold around the United States and Michigan. The eggs are taken, and caviar. Most of it goes to caviar. There's also a gentleman that does, bait eggs. So some of them, when you buy these jars of eggs, tackle store or something like that, they may have come from the Traverse City weir. And if you go to New York especially and you eat salmon caviar, you got a good chance it came from here.
Really, man? And that's pretty cool. And I've seen that before that, you know, the DNR will post, hey, the salmon is ready for sale. Or, you know, things like that, which is cool, but people don't realize the work involved.
Oh, yeah. And then even the innards and the whole fish gets used. Anything unflayable or whatever goes into this grinder, and they turn it into a slurry, and it's sold for dog and cat food. So, like, when your cat food can says made with real fish, there you go. It's whatever else they put in there, and they've got this fish slurry.
It's funny. I have a Bass-O-Matic thing in mind. If you remember the old Dan Aykroyd bit from Saturday Night Live, the Bass-O-Matic, and this is the Salmon-O-Matic. But and again, this is proving too how we are as sportsmen and women and people that love our resources here, that we don't let things go to waste. I mean, even when it comes to like bow fishing, you know, people are like, what do you do with all that carp? Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that benefit from that as fertilizer and other things.
Yep. When they have those bow competitions, you know, that's exactly what they do. And there's a lot of fish. And You know, we as humans, we need to continue that resource. And a lot of the fish here, you know, from the Traverse City Weir and other weirs, besides getting, you know, sold, oh, it's donated every week. And so there's a lot of folks out there that just can't get fresh fish, and they got some fresh fish.
Yeah, and you know, salmon, not exactly the cheapest of fish to buy if you've ever been to the market.
Nope.
But the fact that you're getting them here from our lakes and not imported, too, is very important.
It is. It is. And it's a, you know, it, like you said, it's a life of loving this because, let me tell you, I barely make minimum wage working at the salmon weir. But I love it. I work with the DNR. I work with a whole bunch of other great people. We've been doing this for years. And just, you know, I personally will toss, oh, my goodness, in a day, 1,500 fish into a bin. And, you know, everybody loves giant Chinooks. Oh, they're huge. And I'm always like, ooh, because I know I got to lift a 25-pound salmon and give it a toss.
I was going to say, did you get to, you know, when you're doing that job, even though it's a little bit of work, I mean, do you ever just go, you know, had I only caught you?
You know, I don't. But, you know, because I'm lucky enough I get out fishing. And most of the guys there have a love for fishing, so they all go out and get their own fish and whatnot. But it's great to see the anglers. Well, here's an example. Some people complain about the weir downtown Traverse City. Why are you taking our fish?
Oh, okay.
Well, I can guarantee you the Bourbon River, because of this weir that's been there since the late 80s, gets at least five times more salmon stocked in it
mm-hmm.
than it used to.
How does this whole our fish come into play?
Well, they're license fees.
Right. No, I understand that. I know. But you know, when I work in this business and I see the broader scope, that to me kind of goes out the window. But, you know, I understand license fees. I understand where all the money goes and why it goes to where it is going. But I guess maybe I'm spoiled because I have the ability to talk like to people like you and other people on a daily basis about these things. And I don't see things quite the same way as I did 15 years ago.
Right, right. I think we all do. And, I mean, there was a gentleman on the bridge just above the weir, and I could hear him yakking and kind of yelling and, yeah, he was talking real loud when people were walking by and all that. And then finally, after about a half hour of that, he's like, free the salmon! Fish are people, too! And he's just yelling all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I hate to tell you, but fish are not people, number one.
Is there a basement you need to get back down to?
Yeah,
I'm just,
exactly.
Just curious.
We've had a lot of you know, and I'm usually pretty good at talking to people and mm-hmm. saying, here's just telling the story just like I did there.
David A. Rose, our guest here on Wild Michigan. We're going to speak more with David in a couple of minutes. If you recognize the voice, well, he has been on this show probably since day one as we get ready to celebrate our 14th anniversary here on the Michigan Talk Network. It's been 14 years of love, and there's been some times I've kind of questioned what I do. But you know what? It's because of people like David and some other people, you know, everybody else we have on the show that I've learned from so many years. That have made my time in the outdoors so much more enjoyable and even successful. And what we do here is we try and educate the best we can through our conversations with our friends. It may not, you know, we may not be the guys giving you water temp, you know, what depth something is, what color to use, but we're getting to where we need to be, I think. So I'm Duran Martinez. You listen to Wild Michigan. Make sure you check us out on the website. Being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense in Davison, Michigan, makers of VS1, also the new Evercalm bomb and the running bomb. Check those out. WildMichiganRadio.com.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. As we are the weekend after the 19th year of remembrance of the September 11th attacks, and I like to call him friend. I only had the opportunity to meet him once. He's been on the show a couple of times, is retired New York Port Authority police officer Will Jimeno, who's been on this show a couple of times, one of the last two to be pulled from the wreckage of the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. An amazing, amazing individual, a great American, and one of the most positive people that I've ever met, had the pleasure of meeting and have the pleasure of conversing with via Facebook on a, you know, fairly average basis, you know, and just, again, somebody who could be as angry and hate the world as much as one can. He strives to make this place a better place, and, you know, his survival, I think, is a testament to that. So Will and all those who we lost on that day, we think of you often, and we pray for a better time. So thanks so much. Back to our good friend David A. Rose, and we're being brought to you by, oddly enough, not just guns, in Mason, a strong believing group of guys for our Second Amendment and the freedoms of this country as well. And we're looking forward to being out there on November 3rd. But right now we're speaking with David A. Rose, talking a little bit of fishing. We talked a little bit about the salmon weir that he was working on up in Traverse City. Now let's talk a little bit about steelhead and kings, David, because right now we've had this cold snap come through. Here it is, September. It's like, you know, we get to Labor Day. Okay, thanks, great. And that marks the end of summer for Michigan. Boom.
Yeah.
We're right into cold weather.
Yes, we do.
Cool.
And it's always right after that Labor Day, all of a sudden you realize, better hurry up and get my outdoor chores done. So, but some of those outdoor chores are going to get interrupted by going to fish Chinook and Coho salmon. You know, we got a lot of fish all up and down the shorelines here from the St. Joe down in very southern Michigan area to, I mean, up around Mackinac and up through the UP. And, you know, kings, they show up a little earlier every year. Actually, the fish that spawn earliest have the best reproduction. That's just Mother Nature all of a sudden. So, I mean, we start seeing kings in the rivers, oh, my goodness, sometimes mid-August, mm-hmm. usually by late August. And but now the main runs are going to be really starting here. And it's not always triggered by just, I mean, it's daylight, it's you know, weather systems come in, you get a big north blow or something like that, but roils things up, and they really like that. Doesn't always have to be a rain event or whatever. And so the kings usually show up earlier than the cohos. And, I mean, there's, you can cast plugs for them and cast big chunks of skein or do whatever. And then probably by 1st of October or whatnot, the coho salmon, but they're in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your chance to go get those cohos, which tend to be a little smaller. And then by November, we start seeing, well, by the end of October, we start seeing some steelhead that come up and eat those eggs that the salmon are spawning.
You know, if you've never fished a river for coho or kings, this should be your year. If you have the time especially and the resources, because to me, David, I mean, look, I like the big water, but to me, there is nothing like fishing a river for those species of fish, because it's the action, the fight, the surroundings, the weather, everything about it to me is my favorite time of year to fish. I mean, the spring is great, but that fall bite when you're fighting a coho or a king, to me is an amazing time.
It is. It is. And what's more amazing is, excuse me, I get a frog in my throat here, as the runs of each species slow down and then the steelhead show up and you hook a steelhead, and it doesn't have to be a very big one.
No.
You want to talk about a fight, amazing fight. And you'll notice the difference between the steelhead. I mean, there's a lot more jumping going on and screaming runs, not just runs. So it's a steelhead, and of course they're nice and shiny. And they'll be in the rivers all the way through when they spawn. So there's winter fishery, and the spring fishery.
Absolutely. David A. Rose is our guest here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. David, for those who, you know, are contemplating, have never been, talk about the tackle and your gear that you're using out there, aside from, you know, you're obviously staying warm and waders and everything else.
Yeah. Well, wading is obviously good. Now, you know, some of the lower parts of the river you got to be careful in this year because they are deeper than normal. So someplace you may have gone last year or the year before might be over the top of your waders, so just don't nonchalantly wade. Just, you know, use a wading staff. Kings, great way to catch them. So you're using, excuse me, you don't have to have a heavy action rod, but maybe a medium heavy, something that can handle some 30 to 40 pound super line, you know, like a fire line or Power Pro, that type of stuff. No stretch capabilities with those, and that's why you want just a little stiffer rod. And plugs. When I say plugs, like crankbaits, so people are throwing, how's this? The world record brown was caught in the Manistee River
mm-hmm.
on a, I think it was a number 9 shad wrap, silver and black. That was actually 11 years ago yesterday that they caught it out in Manistee. So they were actually fishing for kings and whatnot, and they got that big brown. So, you know, bombers, Rapalas, Smithwick Rogues, Storm, Thundersticks, that kind of stuff, really popular. And you'll definitely know when you get a hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spinners, inline spinners, big MEPs, big rooster tails. When I say big, you know, the number 5 type spinners, even bigger. A lot of guys make their own, make them a little bigger. Those can work well. Use the same line. You can use that fire line. You heard me talk about drifting skein. Skein is when the eggs of another fish are still tight in that membrane. And you can take chunks of that and use a float. Well, you don't have to use a float, but let it bounce along bottom. And for some reason, those big kings love a softball or a baseball-sized chunk of skein. They will gobble that up. So,
really?
Yep.
That's a big, big piece.
Oh, it's a very big piece. And you can use a little spawn bag. You'll probably catch more of a steelhead that might be early than you would a big old king. But for some reason, they like those big globs of skein. And I've been doing that since I was, oh my goodness, couldn't even drive, junior high kind of thing. And we used to just cast out into this big hole and let it kind of drift down. Next thing you know, you got a 20-pound king screaming on the other end. But you know what? I went to the Betsy one time, ran out of skein, just happened to have some night crawlers, and I can't remember how many salmon we caught on a whole night crawler. Now, these, you know, the live bait stuff, the skein, when the fish are young, we'll just say when they're young to the river, when they're fresh, the little later stuff, that's when those plugs really shine through. And the same works for coho, too. I mean, all that kind of stuff. Coho, I mean, if you're really, you know, target them in a river that's full of coho more than kings, yeah, you can lighten up your line a little bit. You know, you can go with 10 to 15-pound test super line, or you can use monofilament or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you still can. They love spinners. They love things that spin. So, and spawn bags under a bobber or letting it bounce across the bottom.
Yeah, we've David A. Rose is our guest here on Wild Michigan. We've had great success using black spinners with a black skirt and like a red bead on them, kind of that egg-sucking, leech-looking thing. And, you know, I mean... It was funny. One year in particular, I'll never, ever forget it. There's some guys that were out there fishing for hours. We show up, first cast, boom. Fourth, fifth cast, boom. I mean, we were done literally in about 15 minutes.
Right.
You know, and these guys have been there all day and hadn't caught anything. They just looked at us like, what are you using? Of course, we didn't tell them.
That's funny.
We just kind of hid and left, you know, took our fish and go.
I was going to mention the black spinners, the black spoons. I've got a few... spoons that a long time ago, I just went and got the old Rust-Oleum and I roughed up the spoon a little bit and sprayed them black. And I've caught a lot of coho. Coho really like that black.
They do. And that's been a proven fact for me. And man, I tell you what, I can't wait to get out there. It's been a perfect weather for me, my kind of weather anyway. For a big fella, I like it kind of cool.
Let's go meet up.
Well, yeah. You know, I've been saying that for how long? But you know, now we can get Banana Don out.
I know, that excites me.
Now that he's been retired, frog in my throat.
Yeah.
But now I've got it. Being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. We'll be broadcasting live there on November 3rd. Also, our friends at Conquest Sense and United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Looking forward to talking to those guys here in the next couple of weeks. As always, get outdoors, youth hunting weekend, freedom hunt coming up. Bow season coming up October 1st. Great place to be outside here in the Great Lakes State on Wild Michigan.